It was a game that had everything except the Riders virtually clinching the West. They move into a tie on points with the Calgary Stampeders following the 30-28 loss. Derek Taylor and Luke Mullender in Calgary for Sask Lotteries, Capital Auto Mall, and Vaderstad. Missed plays by both sides, made plays by both sides. In the end, Calgary makes a couple more, and it ends up being the difference.
Yeah, I mean, Calgary was Calgary. They're a team that just understands the need to focus in and just win the last play, right? Again, there were opportunities for Saskatchewan, and I think that it really paints the picture well for Saskatchewan and what they need to do if they really want to challenge for a Grey Cup. The plays that were out there at the end of the game, Calgary made them, and the plays that were out there for Saskatchewan, Saskatchewan did not make them.
Yep.
You know, when you and I'll tell you what, let's be honest. I'm not pointing out Moncrief, but this is a good example. When in the world would you say, hey, if Milanovic Leader has the football Moncrief is the linebacker, who wins the one-on-one? Like, you literally pick Moncrief 11 times out of 10, right?
Absolutely.
And that's what I mean. The next step, if the Riders want to make it, they just have to understand the plays that are out there against the really good teams in this league. You have to execute.
Yep.
Do your job. Shivers, for instance. Shivers put Moncrief in the position. They can only go so far as coaches. If you get put in a position to make a play, and I don't want to make it look like I'm pointing out Moncrief. I'm not. I'm just painting the picture using his example, right? You just have to execute when you're put in the position to do so.
We mentioned during the game Solomon Elamimian, the best tackler among linebackers. Among Sam linebackers, Moncrief misses the fewest tackles, but he tries to turn Milanovic Leader back inside, loses his footing on that one play, and it helps Calgary run out the clock. Sometimes it's just that small.
Teams beat themselves against Calgary sometimes. It seems they let the moment, again, if you really want to point out the opportunities missed, the first quarter.
The kickoff recovery
for a touchdown.
The first
quarter was a huge missed opportunity because Calgary came out shaky. But unfortunately, the Riders did as well.
Yep. Yeah, it's Calgary. You just say it's Calgary. After a while, you just say it's Calgary. The Stampeders, they know what they're doing. They know how to do it. They lose their best defensive back. They lose one of their starting defensive ends to an ejection.
They're just so poised.
Unbelievable.
And again, that was when Dave Dickinson was a quarterback in this league.
Yep.
One of his attributes was poise. If you look at Bo Levi Mitchell, what is one of his best attributes?
Yeah.
It's poise. He talks a lot of junk. He pisses you off by the things he says. But again, I respect the guys that can go. They can set you off verbally, but then they go and hold themselves accountable. And today, Bo Levi Mitchell, man, I mean, he played exactly how you would expect your star quarterback to play in a big game.
Apart from one terrible, terrible idea to throw the ball, 23 of 29 for 298.
And that's the other thing. You look at that in contrast to Ed Gainey. So Bo Levi Mitchell goes out and makes the dumbest mistake you could make as a quarterback by throwing it across the body all going the other way, right? But what does he do? Steadfast. Doesn't worry about it.
Oh, yeah.
Ed Gainey goes and gets a PI call, and what does he do? He lets it bother him. He gives him another 15 yards, right? Like, that's the next step for Saskatchewan.
And then gets beat for the touchdown by
Hershey
Mayala, who had a huge, huge game. We're going to go to break. Luke and I in the broadcast booth, brought to you by McDougal Auctioneers. Search it, watch it, bid on it, buy it at McDougalBay.com and on the McDougal Bay app. When we come back, we'll review Luke's three keys to the game, and then he's off to the locker room to talk to Coach and the offense and defensive stars of the game as the post-game show continues on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network. Riders now even atop the West following the 30-28 loss to the Calgary Stampeders here in Calgary. Let's review quickly Luke's three keys to the game. Luke, key number one was big plays, and there were a lot in this game.
And when you come in with both teams that are not yielding big plays, that becomes a difference. And today, the big plays and unfortunately the unfortunate turnover on special teams was a big part of the story.
Second key was big kick returns, and one of them ended up being a kick recovery that went for a Jamari Gilbert touchdown.
And again, we're not used to saying that Calgary is susceptible in their special teams game and phase, but they were up until this point, but they played incredibly well. Just as you would expect them to do, they came in prepared and they executed.
Just I wanted to check their punting from Rob Maver. Netted 39 yards. They'd had some troubles with punt return touchdowns, but not in this game. And the key number three was be yourself.
Yeah. Again, they were shaky. And I don't know whether early on the moment was getting to the guys, but again, all that key was is do your job. And there were times out here on defense and offense where guys just, unfortunately, they didn't get it done. They didn't execute when they could have. And Calgary is just too good. You can get away with that against Toronto. You can get away with that against Edmonton. You can get away with that against Ottawa. You can get away with that against Winnipeg.
Yep.
Not Calgary. You cannot get away with those type of things when it's the Calgary Stampede.
And we've talked all season long about penalties, the A.C. Leonard penalties, the Ed Gainey penalty that ended up being the Hergie Mayala touchdown. It just, once again, they take more penalties than the opposition, 7 for 91,
yeah.
And they end up coming
up short.
They give
91 yards, free yards to Calgary. That's insane.
Not even so. Luke's down to the locker room to talk to coach, the offense and defensive stars of the game as well for SaskTel, Young's Equipment, and Sask Milk. The fifth quarter rolls on. We'll go over every bit of this game before the Sports Cage Radio Roundtable. We're back at McMahon Stadium after this on the Cooperative's Rough Rider Radio Network. The Riders had a chance to virtually clinch home field advantage throughout the playoffs. They fall a hair short. Now 10-5 on the season. The Stampeders 10-5. They're in first place by having the advantage, having won the season series against the Riders. So the Riders will need to make up one win down the stretch of the season. These last three games coming up, BC at Edmonton, and then at home to the Edmonton Eskimos. Luke's going down to the locker room. We'll hear from Coach Dickinson. We'll hear from the offense and defensive stars of the game. I want you to write down the game stars and be listening to the Sports Cage Radio Roundtable with Michael Ball. You'll have a chance to win a special blend by Weiser's gift pack. I just want to go back to 8 minutes and 20 seconds to go in the fourth quarter of this one, and I said it at the time, Saskatchewan's down 27-18, down 9 points at that point. They're facing third. The listing will say third and one. It was legitimately third and 1.5. And my thought at the time, you almost have to go for this. You almost have to go for this. We'll talk about that in a moment. But Luke got down super fast. He's alongside Coach Dickinson. Luke, take it away.
Coach, you didn't watch the film, obviously. First impressions of today.
Yeah, just too many mistakes, Luke. I mean, we played hard. I mean, I really wanted to emphasize that to our guys. So I'm proud of the effort, but we just didn't play well enough. You know, mistakes in the kicking game hurt us early. That one kickoff return, that's a killer, you know, those sort of plays. And I think we just didn't play as well defensively as we're used to. We made some mistakes there, and I'm sure the offense feels they left some plays out there. So I think as a team, just didn't play well enough. Played hard, but not well enough to beat a good team like Calgary.
Yeah, I feel like you didn't get off to the start you needed to, right? Especially when Calgary sort of wavers a little bit too. You get the impression that you don't want to waver as well, right?
Yeah, we emphasized, you know, starting fast and trying to force Calgary to play catch up. We weren't able to do that, so I thought they were able to dictate the pace of the game. I do feel like we gave them a pretty good fight there at the end, came back, but you know, when we needed a stop, we just couldn't do it. And, you know, it wasn't because of lack of effort. You got to give Calgary credit. They found a way to move the ball at the end and chew up that last 3 minutes.
Yeah. Coach, obviously, you're a team that controls your own destiny, right? You still, if you finish out winning these last few games here, you should still be in good standing, right? What do you tell the team after a loss like this?
I just say we got to be honest with ourselves, look in the film, look in the mirror, look at the film, and just find ways to get better. We're just not quite good enough. And we're a good enough team to make a run, but not making the mistakes we did today. We got to clean that up. And I usually don't make a big deal out of the penalties, but there were some penalties that we could have totally avoided. And we just got a little bit selfish out there and started playing for ourselves and not for the team. So we'll try to correct those.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that because the penalties are still happening, you know, at really inopportune times.
Yeah, I mean, I still think we're a little too undisciplined. And the reality is that's hard to change overnight, but we're working at it. It's the same guys, you know, and so if it continues, we'll look at maybe putting somebody else out there. You know, they got to know at some point that we're just not going to put up with that. But, you know, for the most part, I think our guys are trying to do the right thing and playing hard. It's just those penalties hurt us. And a good team like Calgary is going to make you pay.
Yeah, and one of the things that also hurt you is losing Micah Johnson. Obviously, they lost Trey Roberson very early on, but what is the status on Micah?
Yeah, we don't know. He went down with an ankle. So we'll know more tomorrow.
And what does the schedule look like? You guys have another short week coming up, I guess, right? You got the Thanksgiving holiday. Are you going to go at it?
Yeah, no, we got a full seven this next one, Luke. So we'll give them 2 days off, and then they'll come back in on Monday, and we'll get going.
And is there going to be a specific focus on when it comes to BC, or is it just, hey, let's continue to roll, do our jobs?
Yeah, you know, we got to take a look at BC. You know, they're playing well right now. They're going to be a tough out. And but, again, our focus is always – as always with me, it's going to be on us. How do we get better? How do we make slight improvements in our game to try to play a little better?
Thanks for spending some time, Coach. Yep. Appreciate
Thanks.
It.
That's Coach Craig Dickinson joining us. The coach's post-game comments are for Great Western Brewery. Try new original 16 Helles Half Acre. The mid-strength German-style lager offers a citrus taste, a light-bodied finish, and only 90 calories. And I am sure I am not the only person who heard, we'll think about putting somebody else in if those penalties continue. You heard it. Luke heard it. And I'm pretty sure the folks in the locker room will hear it as well. Just penalties. You heard Luke's frustration during the game, right? Ed Gainey would not let it go. The pass interference call takes another 15-yard penalty on the next play, after the next play, and then gets beaten for the touchdown. It appears from up here, and then AC Leonard jumping offside a couple of times. Penalties, a real problem. This guy was not a real problem. It's our offensive star of the game, William Powell. Let's go back to Luke.
Hey, man, obviously, you know, a good game personally really doesn't mean anything when the team takes a loss. What are your first impressions without watching the film?
You know, we did some good things, but we let some stuff slip away from us. We just got to get executing on all cylinders. For four quarters, we had a couple bonehead plays that cost us the game. You know, we just got to execute. That's all it was.
You know, the boneheaded plays, as you call them, aside, right? What is the plan coming in against Calgary, right? Like, how do you look at Calgary and say, okay, this is how we win this game?
You know, Calgary's a good team. They're always going to scheme well. They're always going to know their opponent very well, and they're always going to come to play. You know, we just got to be real prepared. I feel like we had a good game plan. You know, we didn't execute all four quarters, like I said. So we just got to play for 60 minutes.
Talk about the seam route you ran right down the down the middle of the field. What opened up for you? Did you see that coming? Was that a foreshadowing a little bit?
Yeah, it was kind of a foreshadowing. We game planned that against them. We thought it would be there in certain looks that they give us, and they gave us the look that we wanted, and Cody saw it and put it out there for me.
Your guys are battling, man. You see Taren Vaughn continually going down, having to, like, what does it take? What are your main thoughts moving forward here in three really important games coming up?
We know we have a tough group. Like you said, guys are fighting through injuries and sorenesses. We just got to stay tough. We know we have a tough group. That's our identity, and we're going to keep fighting. And these next three games, we're going to control what we can control and go out there and try to put four complete quarters together.
Is that the key, putting four complete quarters together starting from the
– I feel like if we can put four complete quarters together up against anybody, we'll be hard to beat. So we could do that. You know, I feel very confident in our chances.
Yeah. All right, thanks, Lev.
The offensive star of the game, William Powell. We go to break for Seedmaster, the wireless age, your Sastel authorized dealer, and Casinos of Regina and Moose Jaw, always entertaining. We'll have the defensive star of the game when we return on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network. Riders unfortunately missed a golden opportunity, falling 30-28 here in Calgary. This segment of the postgame show for Redhead Equipment, Nutrien, and Borgo Industries. And just looking at the list of crazy things that happened in this game. First drive, Riders are moving the ball. Shaq Evans wide open for a touchdown. Wasn't able to come down with it. Ed Gainey, interception, dropped it. Calgary kicks off after scoring. They recover the ball. It was a shorter kickoff. Recovered. Jamari Gilbert goes in for the score. Bo Levi Mitchell loses his mind, throws on the run, back across his body. Nick Marshall, house call on that one, the interception for the touchdown. The Riders with that suffocating second quarter drive. Chris Kasher gets ejected. Trey Roberson already out of the game. Things were going their way. Ed Gainey flips out following a penalty. They take a field goal on 3rd and 1 with 8 minutes to go. Calgary responds by just eating up all the clock. Micah Johnson gets hurt. Taren Vaughn fights through what looked like a rough injury. So much going on. Micah Tights in his first start back in virtually his hometown, the place where he played college football. Made some very nice plays. Luke thought partially responsible for one of the touchdowns. So much happened in this game. And when these two meet in the playoffs, hopefully one, it's in Regina, but two, how great will this be? A dramatic improvement over the first game against Calgary. But still, things to be cleaned up. Man, that was some exciting football. William Powell's touchdown when the Riders needed to save some time and get a score. Powell bust through on a big night for him. 8 carries for 50 yards and a touchdown. And oh, by the way, 1 catch for 34 yards and a touchdown. William Powell now 13 scores on the season. Cody Fajardo, a bounce back. He said he'd been watching the tape of the first Calgary game. He's seen some things that made him cringe on that tape. Certainly much better from him on this night. 20 of 32 is below what he would normally accomplish. 209, 1 touchdown, 1 interception, 10 rushes, including some very valuable, a 21-yarder down the stretch for 67 yards. He was the leading rusher again for this Riders team. So close in Calgary. Positives to be taken from it. Negatives to be taken from it. Could have virtually clinched the West Division and the West Final being in Regina. Instead, 3 more weeks to go. BC, Edmonton, and Edmonton, while Calgary has to play Winnipeg, Winnipeg, and then BC. So 2 against the Bombers. In my mind, tougher than 2 against the Eskimos. So you'd still want to say advantage Riders, but they missed an opportunity in this one. Luke, still got comments coming up from our defensive star of the game. That'll be Solomon Elamimian, a guy who can add some perspective to what was lost here, where they go from here, and how they clean up some of the problems that Coach Dickinson talked about, the kickoff return and those penalties. Luke's been talking about it all year. They've taken the second most penalties in the CFL, and it continued tonight here in Calgary. Riders come up 2 points short. After the break, we go back to Luke with our defensive star of the game on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network. Stampeders 30, Riders 28 as the Riders fall to 10-5 on the season. Calgary moving up to 10-5 and taking first place in the CFL's West Division for AGCO with CAA Saskatchewan. And the tap. Still the post-game rewind to come. Luke Mullender in the locker room with the defensive star of the game. Let's go down to Luke now.
Yeah, we're going to call an audible here. It doesn't look like we're going to get Solly after all, so I think we're going to get Nick Marshall. And here he comes right now.
Interception for a touchdown. Yeah. Nick Marshall, yeah.
Yeah. Hey, man, obviously, tough loss. It sort of dulls an interception for a touchdown that you get, right? But talk about what are your first impressions about this loss without watching the film?
I just feel like we left a couple of plays on defense and the offense during the game. But at the end of the day, we got to give Calgary credit where it's due. They beat us fair and square. We just got to move on to BC.
Mm-hmm. Are the penalties something that are beginning to weigh on your mind as a defense now, right? Like it's been consistent, mm-hmm. is what I'll say, right? Like, how do you approach that, and what does it take to get a little bit more discipline, especially in the points of the game where you just can't take penalties like that?
I just feel like me playing on behind the corner on this defense, and I just feel like we just got to be more disciplined on defense, and does that. Like, I just feel like we got to focus on more because at the end of the day, those penalties gonna get us beat at the end, and I don't really like get beat on the end on penalties, not being disciplined football team, but at the end of the day, we were undisciplined.
You came in, you're one of the top DBs in this league. What do you see in Calgary, right? Like, they have a ton of wide receivers, but what is the key to stopping them in your mind?
To be honest, you just, Bo, he do a great job of taking what the defense get him, but at the end of the day, Calgary going to be Calgary. You just got to play defense and then execute, but at the end of the day, they're a great football team, but we got to come out and do what we got to do.
Yeah, I noticed a lot of maturity from last year to this year in you. In your mind right now, how does this team move forward, and how do you finish the season strong?
Right now, we're just going to worry about BC and go tomorrow and watch the film, see what get corrections on the film, and then just put this game behind it, and then don't let it not try to have this feeling again.
Yeah. All right, man. Well, thanks for spending some time with us. Appreciate it. All right, DT, up to you.
Thank you, brother. Nick Marshall, the defensive star of the game. He had the interception return for the touchdown, a tackle, as well. The defensive stars and all our game stars are brought to you by the Bear Claw Casino, the friendly place to stay and play on the prairies. Visit bearclawcasino.ca. Still the post-game rewind to come and talk a little bit about the 3rd-and-1 decision to kick the field goal when we return on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network. In Calgary, where the Riders fall 30-28, falling into a virtual tie for first place in the West, though they've lost the season series to Calgary, so in truth, second with 3 games remaining. Luke, we had to call an audible there, so our game stars, William Powell and Nick Marshall. Don't forget, write them down. You could win a special blend by Weiser's gift pack from Michael Ball in the Sports Cage Radio Roundtable. I started on it earlier, and Luke and I talked about it during the game. The Riders, on a 10-play, 61-yard drive, down 2 scores in the fourth quarter, elect to kick the field goal on 3rd-and-1.5 from the Calgary 34. Luke liked it. Take the points. You're within a score. Perfectly valid. I will always say, well, that exact situation, to go for it on 3rd-and-1, because Calgary is going to take the ball and Calgary is going to drive. You need a stop either way, right? Calgary takes the ball. They go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 plays and then a field goal attempt, burning 4 minutes off the clock before a Rene Paredes field goal. And Saskatchewan is back down 9 points with 4 fewer minutes on the clock. And the field position is, in that case, 41 yards worse. They go down, get the William Powell touchdown. They're back within 2 points. But there's the chance, right, that you would have converted the 3rd-and-1.5, gone through and perhaps gotten a touchdown. All of a sudden, that William Powell touchdown means oh so much more. There aren't a lot of coaches, to be 100% fair to the Riders, there are not a lot of coaches that are going to go for it on 3rd-and-1.5 in that exact situation. But you wonder if, is it the right call? It's unconventional for the CFL, but 3rd-and-1.5 is something teams will convert 80-85% of the time. What would it have done in this game had they gone down? There's no guarantee if you get the first down that you would get the touchdown. Absolutely, you may have to settle for a field goal that burns more time off the clock anyway. But what will be a critical decision in this game, taking the field goal with 8.5 minutes to go, and then Calgary be Calgary, right? You heard Nick, with all the respect, Nick Marshall, with all the respect for the Calgary Stampeders and what they do. And the Riders were not able to keep them off the board after that. And then Calgary just ran the clock out with their final drive. Got it back with 2:13 to go. Ground out the clock through Antti Milanovic Leader and Bo Levi Mitchell throwing the ball. And Calgary gets away with the 30-28 victory. It's a good topic for discussion on the postgame, or the postgame show, the Sports Cage Radio Roundtable with Michael Ball. I imagine the phones will be on fire after this game. Good points, bad points, guys need to be cut. Coach Dickinson saying, hey, you know what, we might have to replace guys if they don't, you know, get their penalty act together. It was a bold, bold statement from the coach. We would love to know what you think about that. So give a call in to Michael Ball and friends for the Sports Cage Radio Roundtable after we wrap up here at McMahon. We're going to break. The postgame rewind is next on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network. His Thigpen under it at his 50, fumbles it, scoops it up, has the track outside, made a man miss. Thigpen's going to find some room. 35, pass Paredes at the 40, turned back in and forced out of bounds. Marcus Thigpen dropped the kickoff, ends up scooting out to the 53-yard line. Paredes long of 50 on the season, this for the lead. The kick is up, and he is right on target. Stands up 3-1. Paredes to kick off from the 35. This is a high short kickoff. It's going to bounce at the 30. Up ahead, and Calgary had it, and they're going to score. Jamari Gilbert, the short kickoff tipped up into his hands, and that's a touchdown, Stampeders. Riders bringing 3. They let him through. Mitchell steps up, throws it across his body, picked off. This is going for a score for the touchdown, Riders. Nick Marshall. Riders are back in. Solomon blitzes. Here come 5. Solomon pressure, and Bo just lays down. That'll be a sack. Fajardo and shotgun, the double tight end formation. Will they give it to Powell? They will. William Powell trying to bust through, and he's in. William Powell, 12th touchdown of the season, and the Riders are in the lead. Across the middle, it's complete. It's Maiala in front of Ed Gainey for the touchdown. Virtually automatic for Brett Lowther. The kick is up, and it is good. First and 10, just inside the Rider 18. They show three. Into the end zone, Maiala came over at the two, and a touchdown for Calgary. Lowther's kick is up, got the distance. Oh, and he hit the bar. He hit the upright. So it'll be a dead ball, no points, and Calgary will take the ball. Middle of the field for Lowther, call it a 42-yard kick. Lowther gets it up and pops it right through. So 8:13 remaining, the Riders 21, the Stamps 27. Mitchell pressure, sacked at the 35-yard line, 9-9. A.C. Leonard cleans it up. Fajardo in shotgun. He will fake the handoff. He's a little RPO, and he's got the first down. 50, 45. He's not going down. 40, pushes forward. 35. Fajardo down to the 34-yard line, and that's a pickup of 22. Fajardo looking at that wide side. Going to the end zone is open for the touchdown. William Powell got in behind everybody. There's the touchdown they needed with 2:19 remaining. It's 30-27. Mitchell steps up, dumps it. Maiala catches it. It's over at the 35-yard line. Virgie Maiala, the star of the game.
We literally said the plays that are out there are going to be few and far between, but you got to make them. And at the end of the day, Calgary made the plays that were there, and Saskatchewan did.
The Riders come up just a hair short, falling 30-28. That the post-game rewind brought to you by Meinerd's Leisure World. Hundreds of the top-selling RVs to choose from, giving you volume discounts all summer long. A tremendous effort. Some problems continue for the Riders. Luke talks about the penalties extensively. They were second most penalties taken in the league. They continue that today by having one more penalty than Calgary in this game. We wonder about the condition of Micah Johnson, the ankle injury. He tried to fight through it. Just could not. Taron Vaughn down injured on a couple of occasions to the point where Brendan Labatt had to play left tackle for a short spell. So many things. Ed Gainey with his just losing it after getting called for the pass interference. Things to work on. Things to like. The Riders showed some heart. That William Powell touchdown at the end, as Cody Fajardo proves he can keep doing it in the fourth quarter. He leads the team. Obviously, in passing, he leads the team in rushing as well. Cody Fajardo and the Riders coming up just a hair short in this one, 30-28 here in Calgary. Michael Ball and friends for the Sports Cage Radio Roundtable are up next for Luke Mullender, for everybody here in Calgary. I'm Derek Taylor. Thank you for listening. Wherever you are, we do appreciate you giving us your time. And do give us your thoughts on the Sports Cage Radio Roundtable. Ballsy's waiting your calls. Next on the Cooperative's Rough Rider Radio Network.